And we're going to change the pace yet again. We've had the U3A in. We've been talking to the Badger Creek Hall, and now we're going to change things a bit. And we're going to, first of all, I've got with me Mel, and we're going to talk about Leap into Literacy, and that's with your library. But first of all, welcome, Mel.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Alan.
Not a problem. Now, let's talk about Leap into Literacy. What is the program? I know we're going to talk about volunteers for it and all that, but first of all, let's just explain to me and the listeners what Leap into Literacy is.
Yeah, we're really excited to be able to run our Leap into Literacy program because there aren't a huge amount of ones like this around. Basically, the program entails us offering free tutors to any adults who wish to improve their literacy or sometimes numeracy skills as well. So what we're trying to do is provide opportunities for adults to advance skills in reading, writing, or, you know, math skills that might be relevant to every day. And the way we're able to do that is through volunteer tutors who come on board, and we support them with training in adult literacy and working with adult learners, and then they then become matched to our students. So people involved in the program form a one-on-one partnership to be able to grow and support each other and create some fantastic learning opportunities.
So they don't have to be illiterate. They can be just people who are concerned that their literacy skills aren't as high as what they would like to be?
Yeah, so one of the beauties of our program is that it's very much goal-oriented and based around the needs of any individuals that come to us looking for some extra support and assistance. So every single one of the students that we have participating in the program has different varying goals and ambitions, and that's part of what our tutors do is they work with them to identify exactly what they want to achieve as individuals and help them find a path towards those skills.
So they actually assess them by talking to them to get an idea of what their level of skill is, and then do they work out then with the person that they're working with as to where they want to be? Because some people obviously want to shoot for the moon, to put it, and others are quite happy just if they can improve.
Yeah, so I guess there's a couple of elements to that. One important part is that our tutors are facilitators, they're not teachers, so they are there to guide and be a support for the people involved, for the students that we have come on board. So in terms of assessment, we're not formally assessing. It's not about creating any kind of, you know, judgments or assessments or things like that.
And but no exams at the end.
Yep. It's really a genuine and organic experience. So all of the students that we have come on board usually have a goal they want to attain, and that varies from I want to be able to read a novel to I want to be able to read a picture book to my grandchildren. We can help with skills related to form filling out, or like, just the literacy skills required for things like that. And so every kind of context is unique, and we will our tutors will adapt to the needs or the interests of each student that we have come on board.
So what sort of age group are we talking about for the groups?
Yeah, so it's adults, 18 plus, and that is for both our volunteer tutors and for our students as well. So our age bracket is, yeah, 18 to 110. Is that where we go now? if you're interested and you think it's something that would be helpful for you or you would like to become engaged with, as long as, you're 18 plus, then it's for you.
And do you find that there are, I suppose it's a bit hard because you're only sort of starting the program, there are a lot of people that they're fairly illiterate around or
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. So the last study, I think it was conducted in 2010, suggested that 44% of Australians don't have the literacy skills required just to go about daily life, which is quite staggering statistic. Yeah. And there's lots of different elements that can contribute towards that, whether it's early life experiences or not having the same level of access to education or other demands in life. There's lots of, different reasons that comes about, but that is one of the reasons that we want to be able to do things to support
that's
this area.
That's a huge number, isn't it?
Massive number, yeah.
But that doesn't mean that 44% are illiterate. It just means that 44% aren't where they really need to be.
Well, yes and no. It's literacy skills for every day. So we're not saying 44% don't have tertiary level English. It's 44% don't necessarily feel confident with the skills to go about daily life. So it is quite a confronting statistic.
That is a big statistic,
yeah,
isn't it?
Absolutely.
All right, I'm just going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
A big nice plane in the street, gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place, singing,
we will rock you, we will rock you.
Buddy, you're a young man, hard man, shouting in the street, gonna take on the world someday. You got blood on your face, a big disgrace, waving your banner all over the place.
We will rock you.
Sing it out.
We will rock you.
Buddy, you're an old man, poor man, pleading with your eyes, gonna make you zombie someday. You got mud on your face, big disgrace, somebody better put your bag into your place.
We're talking to Mel and we're talking about this leap into literacy. Now, the first thing that we're here to talk about is volunteers just to make this program bigger. But first of all, Mel, with these volunteers, do they go out somewhere to the people's homes or is it done in a hall or mm-hmm. where do they meet to do this program?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. So the majority of our volunteers and students actually meet within our libraries. We're lucky to be running this program as part of a library service, and so we do have a lot of options for places they can meet.
So you're not expecting particular, I was thinking young students going into somebody's home. You're not doing that. They actually meet them in the local library.
No, absolutely. So we're very aware that our students and our tutors are new to getting to know each other, unfamiliar people. So, yeah, public spaces, like I say, that's usually a library, but we do have some people working together in other environments like cafes and things like that as well.
Yeah. So I only emphasise that because we're particularly if we're looking for younger volunteers as well, we need to make sure that they are looked after too, don't we?
Absolutely. And, you know, that's one of the ways we look after them. We do have an extensive training program as well. So if you decide to come on and join Leap into Literacy as one of our volunteer tutors, we offer support in a range of ways. So we run a 6-week training program to help you understand adult learning and literacy development. And then there's ongoing support and communication from us at the library after that as well.
Yep. Sorry, so we're looking for volunteers.
Yep.
What qualifications or what would you want from a volunteer? And what I mean by that is their life experience or how are you going to pick the volunteers?
Yeah, so we tend to be attribute focused. So you don't need to have a prior experience in teaching or education. What we're looking for in our volunteers is people who can be empathetic, who are open-minded, who are willing to take on board the interests and needs of any of the students they might work with and use that to guide them in the partnership.
And we're talking now 18 plus, aren't we?
18 plus, in the way. Yeah.
And so we're talking volunteers.
Volunteers here, so. And students as well, 18 yep. plus. Yep.
Yep. All right. So obviously, pardon me, you want to make sure that the volunteer is pretty literate themselves, otherwise it's not going to work.
Absolutely, absolutely. And when we talk about that, you know, I know for a lot of us it can be quite daunting to think, oh, I have to be an expert in literacy to be able to pass on those skills, but we're not expecting university-level literacy skills. It's really about do you feel confident with the literacy skills that you use in your day-to-day life, and do you feel comfortable being able to share your own knowledge and skills with somebody else? And if so, then, yep, you're well set up for it.
Well, because you're not aiming to turn your students into university students, are you? You're really, I should ask a question rather than tell you, but you're really aiming to get the people life skills rather than aiming for an education, aren't
absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. The main goal of our program is to help people feel confident and comfortable in their lives and their daily living. So, yes, absolutely spot on with that, Alan.
All right, so how long would you expect, I know you're going to say to me it's like a piece of string, because a person, some will come with a certain level and others will come at different levels, but is there a time limit if you're coming in as a student, do you only get a month, 3 months, six months, 12 months?
Absolutely not, no. So that is completely dictated by how you are feeling, how the individual student's feeling about their journey and where they're at, and the tutor along with them. So long as the student and the tutor you're partnered with are happy to keep going and keep building on skills, that can continue on with no end point. We have had some situations as well where perhaps one person in the partnership might need to move on for a particular reason, and we can create a new match as well.
Yep, that's fair enough too. Because I guess that people coming into this, the worst thing you do is get a little bit of knowledge and then all of a sudden it just peters out, is it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So are they all one-on-one?
Yes, so all of our sessions are one-on-one. Absolutely.
All right. I'm just going to take a quick break and we're going to come back with more.
I think you really care, but myself I can't believe. I know it's only make-believe.
I love you so. My only prayer will be one day.
That's Cold Chisel, an old Conway Twitty song. It's only make-believe, bit of a different version of that. I'll be here Sunday between 12 and 3 with Music Memories and More, playing not Cold Chisel, but playing Conway Twitty and that. And I'll also be back on Sunday night between 6 and 8 with a rock and roll hit parade. So plenty of great old songs here on a Sunday afternoon. Anyway, we're talking to Mel and we're talking about Leap Into Literacy, which is part of your library. Mel, if you've got a tutor and you've got a student, how long would you expect each session to run?
So generally speaking, the sessions will run for about an hour. That's kind of a baseline. Yep. But there are different tutors and students that try and adapt that a little bit. Some people would prefer just 45 minutes and then it's enough for one session. And we have some others that go for an hour and a half. So once we've kind of found a tutor for a student, it's really a partnership negotiation, and often that'll be adapted a little bit to suit individual circumstances.
All right, so now it's in the library, so the libraries are only open certain hours. So what sort of times does the program run?
Yeah, so again, like I say, it's really we facilitate the development of those partnerships. And once there's a tutor and a student who are working together, they kind of negotiate what times and what locations are going to suit them best. Our libraries are predominantly opened, 9 to 5 hours,
yep.
But we do have late nights at most branches and weekends at a lot of them too. So we do find that most people are able to find a library location and time that suits them.
Yep.
Or, as I mentioned earlier, some people will choose an alternative public place like a cafe that they might feel more comfortable working in.
All right, so let's talk about it's in a library. So if a person comes in there, do they go off into a separate room by themselves, or are they just in part of the library?
Yeah, so often case it's part of the open space in the library. We're really lucky with the facilities that we have at our branches. There's often tables and chairs available for people to work at, so you can choose a quiet space out in the open area. We do at some branches have little meeting rooms and things like that that are available for use if that's more comfortable as well.
I've got to ask you this, and I know that you can't explain it to me because it's very much between the two of them, but how do you improve literacy? Like, do you get sit a student and a tutor down and then ask the person to read and then review what they've done? Or actually, how do you improve? I'm just quite not sure how you deliver with the program.
Yeah, there's different strategies and different approaches for particular circumstances. So in our training that we do give a lot of guidance to the volunteers about different structures and strategies and approaches you can use that might help with reading in general in terms of being able to decode words that you come across that you don't know. But what you've mentioned there is also really relevant as well. It can take some time to build up that partnership and build up an understanding of where the student's at and what they need. And that can be a little bit of working on some small things together and then taking observations from that to lead into explorations or our guidance in future sessions. It could be things like fluency and phrasing. It could be things like actually learning sound patterns to be able to decode words more effectively. It can be anything to do with the reading and writing process.
Yeah, but I'm still struggling. I'm still struggling to understand how you deliver the program.
Yeah, like,
we'll say you're the tutor.
Yep.
I'm sitting there. I'll walk in and say, "G'day, Mel."
Yeah.
And we say, "Have you had a good week?" Rah rah rah, and then we sit down. What happens next?
So once you've got a good understanding of each other and that initial relationship's built, there's often a routine. So it might be we sit down and do a little bit of reading from a familiar text or one that's being chosen together.
Yep.
And it could be instant feedback as you go. That would work really well for some students.
Let's take this a bit further. So I hit a word and I don't know it.
Yep.
So then do you step in and explain the word to me? Or I'm just trying to find out how the actual program runs.
Absolutely. Yep. So, yes, we could definitely do that. So you might be trying to read a sentence. There might be something you're struggling on and can't work out. You appeal for help. And that help can come in a variety of ways. So the tutor and the student obviously know what things they've already covered and discussed. Yep. So that tutor's then in a position where they might be able to say, okay, what are the strategies we've used before? How can we go about breaking down a word? So it might be a lot of guidance. But then obviously if it's difficult or unknown, it could just be, providing that answer, exploring that word, talking about, you know, how we might work that word out or remember it in future.
What that word means.
What it means, yep. So a lot of it is about decoding. Sometimes it's also about comprehension, understanding and vocabulary building. But then that could go a number of ways. So you've had one particular word that's become challenging in that particular experience. We might revise that again next week. Or there might be a sound pattern in that that we can explore in a broader sense. So, yep.
I've just got to take a quick break and we're back with more. Talking to Mel, and she's from your library, and we've been talking about, or we are talking about, this program, Leap into Literacy, because she's looking for A for volunteers to come along and actually be the tutor, I suppose, and also if you feel as though your literacy levels aren't where they should be or whatever, and you'd like to get involved at about 10 to 3, have a piece of paper and pencil ready, and Mel will tell you a bit about how you can find out more about it. Mel, do you find that with a program like this, that to start with, the progress mightn't be really as fast as it could be because they don't, the student doesn't know the tutor, and the tutor doesn't know the student, but then as you get down the track, that as they get to know more about each other, and I guess particularly the student gets a bit more experience or feels a bit more comfortable, that they can actually pick up quicker as you go on?
Yeah, that absolutely is a really relevant factor. So to begin with, there's a lot of time that is relationship building, getting to know each other, building trust and confidence and comfort in the context sometimes, and also getting to know the area or... you know, great starting points and great focus points as well. So yes, definitely those initial stages, whether they might be weeks or months, can be a lot of groundwork, I guess, is one way to put it, just getting to know each other. And then, yes, progress tends to develop from there.
Do you find that a lot of people, this is probably a bit hard to ask, but I'll still ask it, that a lot of people don't want to admit that they're literacy isn't as good as it could be?
Yeah, you're right. It is an important question. And one thing that we try and do is to create a safe and as comfortable an environment as possible. But one-on-one is one of the factors that we think is really important in doing so. Also, there's a number of ways you can get in contact with us. So if you wanted to come into a branch in person to request a participation in the program, you can do that. But if you're not comfortable doing that, there's ways to, access through the website and things like that and try and get in touch in an alternative way, which might feel a bit safer or more comfortable for you.
Now, I covered this, I mentioned it very briefly at the start. Have you had anybody who's completely illiterate come to you? Can you cope with that or do they need more specialised training?
Yeah, so for the students involved, we do kind of look for already pretty reasonable competency with spoken English and some basic reading and writing skills. Yeah. And like I've mentioned, our volunteers are coming in not necessarily with teaching background or expertise in that area. So we want to be able to create partnerships that are going to be productive and successful for both the students and the tutors as well.
Because the worst thing you can do is set up a person to fail.
Exactly.
And offer them something and then it doesn't do any good for either the student or the tutor.
Exactly. And, you know, the predominant focus of the program is building confidence and comfort and that self-belief, and those kinds of contexts might not necessarily do so. So we want to make sure we're creating a positive environment that helps our volunteers to feel engaged and successful, but also our students to feel engaged and successful as well.
Now, something that you've mentioned a couple of times, but we need to sort of expand it a bit more.
Yep.
Out of these tutors, mm-hmm. you're not looking for teachers, are you? Like, well, if they happen to be a teacher,
that's great.
That's a bonus.
Yes.
But we're not just talking to those people, are we? If there's anybody listening, I'm trying to get to the people who are listening today who think, oh, no, Mel only wants a teacher. You're not that, are you?
Absolutely not. As I mentioned before, we're really looking for anyone who has a drive to give back to others or give back to the community, who's willing to be patient and empathetic and supportive, and those are the attributes that make this program successful.
Mel, would a person, I'm trying to think now of a person who's retired, that's got quite a lot of time on their hands.
Yep.
That could be beneficial to both parties, couldn't it?
Yeah, and that is precisely what we've seen. We've seen that the benefit lies both ways. It gives you, if you are retired or in that kind of bracket, then it gives you an opportunity to contribute, to give back, to have something that you feel like, you're contributing to the community. And often that, can be as significant in terms of your personal sense of self and well-being as the benefits for the student as well.
Well, one of the things I talk about on this program is a lot, and we've been talking about it the last two interviews, is social isolation. And it's a real bad thing. So I'm thinking there may be people, particularly retired younger, that are just sitting at home with nothing to do. This is a great opportunity for their own health and to really help somebody else too.
100%. I heard you talking about that earlier and it did tweak in my mind. And I think just to sidestep one moment away from Leap into Literacy, I think in general libraries can be fantastic for that, breaking down that social isolation. This is one way that you can volunteer with your library, but there is a volunteers page, so you can come on and jump on and see if there's any other opportunities as well. And we also have so many community groups operating out of our libraries, whether it's a book chat or book club or whether it's a knitting group or whether it's a choir. There's so many opportunities at the various library locations that can help with that social isolation.
I got a quick break. Steve, if you're listening, I'll put one in for you, mate.
Yeah. indeed I do. Do I need your love so much? Yes, indeed I do. Must I be, yeah, yeah, misery, yeah, yeah, till the day you come back to me? Will I yearn, yeah, yeah, till I learn, yeah, yeah, just how true
Steve. That was a great Johnny O'Keefe, and yes, indeed I do. I'll have, I can guarantee there'll be a Johnny O'Keefe in Sunday afternoon between 12 and 3 and another one between 6 and 8. He was a terrific entertainer. I think he would have been 80 last week. I know he had his birthday. I mean, the poor bloke's been dead for years, but he would have been about 80. Anyway, we're here to talk to Mel. Mel, you've got another program called Reading Buddies. Just tell us about a bit about that, please.
Yeah, so Reading Buddies is also a literacy-focused program. So much of what I do is overseeing programs focused on literacy within the community, and that's not restricted to one age bracket. So Reading Buddies is targeted at primary school age students, and it provides an opportunity to come into the library after school and join in a group to practice some reading. So
in a group or just one-on-one?
Yeah, so it is a group. So Reading Buddies, we have expanding out this year, so we will have it at our Knox location as well as Fentry Gully, where are we going out to? Yarra Junction as well, and Montrose. And when you come into Reading Buddies, there's three components to that. So one of it is a shared story. So somebody in the library will read a story to the group. And then we have some literacy games. And there's also an opportunity to practice reading with someone else in your family or who's there with you. So it's really about that developing that habit of reading, but also being making reading a shared experience.
And you never start too young.
And the other element of that program is really, you know, if you're a parent at home and you're wanting to build your knowledge or skills or confidence being able to share reading with your kids, this is an opportunity for you to come along and have it as an experience for you as well.
All right. So now you wanted to mention something else too.
Yeah. So I think one of the cool components of our Leap into Literacy program that's made it really successful is that we've been able to do this as a collaboration. So while a lot of the contact points are through your library, it's not something that we do on our own. We are heavily supported by Mountain District Learning Centre in Ferntree Gully, and we have been able to establish and develop this together. And as a learning provider, they're actually able to help facilitate the training that we give our volunteers. So this is something that, you know, we've established in collaboration with that, and it's that partnership that allows it to keep going and be successful.
All right. So now we've got people listening. They might be retired. They might be a mum or dad who's got plenty of time on their hands. There could be a young person who says, I want to volunteer. So how are they going to get hold of Mel?
Yes.
And how are they going to find it?
How are you going to find me? Absolutely. So if you do want any more information about volunteering opportunities, you can also always find them on our website, yourlibrary.com.au. But in terms of more direct contact, we have an email address and a phone number, depending on your preference. So you can contact me through volunteers@yourlibrary.vic.gov.au. So I'll say that one again. That's volunteers@yourlibrary.vic.gov.au. And there's also a number you can contact me on, 0408 379 026. So just one more time, that one was 0408 379 026.
Now let's just stress again that you're not looking for ex-teachers or people who are teachers. You're looking for Mr. and Mrs. or young person, doesn't have to be Mrs. It could be any anybody, as long as you're 18 years and plus. You're looking for, first of all, volunteers who are prepared to give up an hour and a half of their time after they've been trained to meet with a student and improve their literacy. And if you're a student who or if you're a person who believes that you should or that your literacy and all that is too low and you really want to improve it, again, you want to hear from those people 18 and over?
Yep.
We'll give the details again. It's volunteers at yourlibrary.vic.gov.au or 0408 379 026. But they can find out more on your website.
Yourlibrary.com.au.
That sounds terrific. And apart from the reading buddies, which you've just outlined fairly quickly, and this leap into literacy, what other opportunities or what other programs does your library run?
Oh, goodness, I don't know if 5 minutes is enough for that one. I can do my best. To stick with literacy first, so I guess the other significant programs that we run for literacy is there's a conversation circles program that runs at a few of our branches, which is for anyone who is learning English as a second language and would like to just develop speaking and listening skills. So they're available at some of our branches. We also have story times for kids during the day. So if you've got little ones at home, babies, toddlers and family story times run at a variety of our branches. In fact, most of them run at least one of those. But then in terms of broader programs, there are so many things that run through the libraries. My advice is always to either jump on the website and have a look or come into one of our branches and grab one of our What's On guides, which has a really thorough explanation of all of the different programs available. There's things from crafters clubs, Scrabble groups, book chats, writers groups. We've got Lego clubs after school, holiday
Lego.
Oh yeah, Lego's a big one. Yeah. Absolutely. Holiday programs. As a parent myself, this one's one of my favourites. If you're looking for things to do for your kids in the holidays, free holiday programs at your library.
They've just gone back to school.
They have just gone back to school, but they are a popular thing. So, you know, each library, you might find slightly different programs or slightly different frequencies because we are community-minded, and so we are looking to provide experiences, opportunities and connections that suit the communities that we're in. But, yeah, a lot of range of variety of things that you can come and do. Libraries aren't just for reading books.
I was just going to say, it's not... I guess back in the past, it wasn't even for reading books. It was more a case of going in and borrowing a book and taking it home and reading it yourself, wasn't it?
Yep.
And I think one of the things that I can see that we're a lot of people are losing is the fact that they don't read a book with their young child at night. We always did, and two or three of those have become really prolific readers.
Mm-hmm.
And mum and dad are too busy, and they say, "Look, have a look at the screen and that sort of stuff," and that's never going to help them improve. And I was going to ask you, just very briefly, you obviously still lend out books, but is that only a very small part of your library now?
Yeah, absolutely. We really are quite a community hub libraries. And, I mean, I wouldn't say borrowing books is a small part, but it's definitely not the only part or necessarily what the majority of people would come into. It's, you know, some people will come in each week because they're part of a group and that's their social activity. Yep. Some, you know, will bring their children in every week because it gives them something to take their kids out and about to do, to experience.
Which is not going to cost a lot of money.
The environment, it doesn't cost a lot of money. I feel like, you know, of the people that I know in my world, everyone has a different connection to the library. For some people it is books, but for some people it is their young kids' story time. For some people it's, you know, taking a quiet space out from the world for an hour a day, you know?
Probably not a fair question to ask, but I'll still ask it. What percentage of the time at the library would be handing out books? Like, I mean, in the old days, it used to be 100%. Would you spend half your time that, or would it be only 10, 20%?
Yeah, I'm going to take your question really literally there, because handing out books doesn't actually happen a lot. We are so lucky with technology now that you can actually scan out your own books. All of our branches.
Well, that didn't quite go to where I wanted it to go. Because what I wanted to try and find out... out of the average person,
yeah,
are they borrowing books or would be, say, 50-50 borrowing books, 50-50% reading them online, or would it be more borrow or more online?
Yeah, we do have a high number of users that tend towards the online books, the e-books and things like that. So one of the beauties of our services is that we don't just borrow out print copies. We borrow out e-books, and there's a lot of newspapers and various online materials that you can access through the library's website as well.
Because I've got a daughter who says if you can't turn the pages, it's not worthwhile reading it, because she loves to read a book. But more and more people I talk to, pardon me, are in fact getting their reading on either online or through, what's it, Kindle. That's it. Shows how. Look, Melanie, it's been terrific talking to you. Unfortunately, our time's coming fast to an end. Greg's coming in at 3 o'clock with the Oz Indie Show. Always a great show. Volunteers at yourlibrary.vic.gov.au, or give Mel a ring on 0408 379 026. She'd love to hear from you. Thanks for coming, Mel.
Thanks, Alan.